One thing that this residency has taught me to assert for what these species aren't able to communicate.
The non-humans are not living amongst us. We are one of the species and we are living among, because the humans are only one species. The non-humans are hundreds and thousands and millions of species.
You know, whether it is economical to grow GMO foods, the problem with GM foods is that for every food or any crop, not just food, you have to import the seeds.
Sometimes these questions end up becoming very simplistic in answers, but what we want to do is to actually look into complexity of this whole thing.
A lot of it initially was an ignorance. We didn't know. And why did we go into chemicals? I'll tell you why. Because my yield was not enough to feed the people. There was pressure on me to produce more feed because they were hungry people.
I wanted to just pick up on something you said, which is that we can't fight the powers that be.
It's not that we can't fight them, but we are not strong enough as yet. We don't have those numbers.
You would not be doing the kind of performance you're doing if you didn't feel that that was part of fighting in some ways.
If a bus line is going, trees are collateral damage. But in 2015, about 1,300 people died in Karachi, which was a collateral damage of climate change.
Hello and welcome to the Artistic Research Residency Podcast. In this series, we explore innovative projects developed during the residency, Replay, Reveries of an Urban Dreamland. The resident researchers designed novel interfaces for human and non-human interactions in the urban environment of Karachi. This artistic research residency is a collaboration between the Institute of Business Management and Umbrellium, supported by the British Council.
We have a very special duo who have been practicing theatre performing arts for almost two decades. They have been at the forefront of what the madness that goes on in Karachi, risking their lives and producing one of the most fascinating works produced by performing artists in public spaces in Pakistan. Please give a big round of applause to Afreen and Vajdan.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. When I was a little kid, my father gave me a seed. Kidney bean hota hai na, rajma. Responsibility sikhane ke liye unhone kaha ki is beej ko bo do aur iska khayal rakhna. Shuru mein to maine pani diya use, but when the bean grew, I was a little kid, I was watching TV, and one day my father called me and he said, open the balcony door of our apartment and said, look, you neglected the plant has died. That's the first time that I came into contact with death, and it was a non-human species. Where I live, wahan gas nahi aati, wahan pani nahi aata. Hamare ghar ke samne ek jahan hum rehte hain, balcony ke samne ek park hai. Us park ko ek saal ke arse mein maine dekha hai. Log aate hain, darakht kaatte hain. Axe ki jo haunting aur daunting sound hai. Duck, वो आपको रात में भी सुनाई देगी, दिन के किसी पहर में भी सुनाई देगी. Illegally they are cutting trees from that park because there's no gas. And over the months I realized that I had become immune to this sound. I had grown apathetic. And then this summer, I was going to work. मैं रिक्शे से जा रही थी और मैंने देखा कि बीच सड़क में IVS के बाहर, मैं वहाँ पढ़ाती हूँ, a kite had stooped down on the road and it was struggling. And I just passed it. I thought that somebody would pick up the kite and take care of it. I finished my meeting and I ran and the kite wasn't there. I looked for it. Someone had just thrown it aside. Rikshe mein baith kar, I took it to the vet. Mere haath mein wo parinda mar gaya, out of dehydration. As artists, bahut mushkil hota hai apni zaat se bahar nikal kar काम के बारे में सोचना. हम इतने खुद परस्त खुद पसंद हो गए हैं कि हमें हम अपनी ज़ात के अलावा और कुछ नज़र नहीं आता. एंड आई थिंक दिस रेजिडेंसी वॉज इंस्ट्रूमेंटल बिकॉज इट टॉट मी हाउ डू यू थिंक बियॉन्ड योर सेल्फ. दैट समर आई रियली वॉन्टेड टू अंडरस्टैंड दैट आर प्लानट इज़ डाइंग, आर ग्लेशियर्स आर मेल्टिंग, एंड वॉट आर वी डूइंग अबाउट इट. ड्यूरिंग आर रिसर्च वी डिड पब्लिक एक्सपेरिमेंट्स विच हेल्प्ड अस स्टडी एनिमल बिहेवियर, our environment, and through that research we wrote an original play and we performed. Us play mein humne ensure kiya ki hum koi bhi aisi cheez na kare jo environmentally destructive ho. We didn't use any props, we didn't use anything that was detrimental to the environment. That while we're talking about the environment, we're still talking about us. How? One of our experiments, we went to the butcher market and our team hung themselves, and you'll see footage in the presentation, at a vacant butcher stall. And at first, the fellow butchers were intrigued. Har bakreed mujhe janwaron ke rone ki awaaz sunai deti hai aur mujhe takleef hoti hai. Aur ye dekh ke to mujhe aur bhi zyada takleef hoti hai. Aaj jis rate se hum meat consume kar rahe hain, animals ko khatam kar rahe hain, dogs are being killed by KMC, next it'll be us. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Afreen. Thank you very much. And without, I would like to invite a very special guest. Please give a big round of applause to Dr. Shahida Wizarat. Along with Dr. Shahida Wizarat, we have a very special guest who has been working on seeds, on gardening, and he has been at the forefront of the first ever broadcast show on gardening in Pakistan called Baghbani. Please give a big round of applause to Taufeeq Pasha. Thank you, Dr. Shahida. Thank you, Taufeeq Saab. So, you've seen Afreen's speech and you've seen what they've been looking at. And Dr. Shahida and yourself have been very consistently talking about what's going on this front. So, Dr. Shahida, what's going on? Where's this mess coming from?
The situation with regard to food is very, very alarming. And I think the most important problem is that people don't know. We don't know what we are eating. It all started about 20, 25 years ago when the chemical seed companies, they developed these genetically modified seeds. And then they started to sell them. And because the consumers in the West are very health conscious, and obviously they want to eat very healthy food. So, and there is much less disconnect. Now I find a lot of disconnect between the people and the governments in the West also with regard to what's happening. But otherwise, with regard to people's needs themselves, I think there is much less disconnect between the people and the governments in the West, because the people, governments are quite responsive to the needs of the people. So the governments also banned GMOs in Western countries. And with total of about 64 countries have banned GMOs. So I will be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Shahida. That was what a wonderful recap of what Afreen initiated with the kind of the politics of food and how we are consuming things. Pasha Saab, you've been at the forefront of gardening and you can see what Shahida Saiba just pointed out. Where do we stand? Where do we go from here?
Okay, so there's a lot of conversation that has gone on, and I can't just answer this short question of yours, so I'm going to say a few things if I have permission. One, I appreciate your sentiments. That is what we need. We need people who will shed a tear for not only the non-humans, but for the humans as well. And that brings me also to something that we all have a right to register our protest and express our solidarity with the Palestinian humans. It has nothing to do with religion, race, or anything. It's humanity. I have always claimed that he is my brother. He is my brother. He is as much alive as I am. He has the same senses. He feels, and he even talks. It's just up to some of us who know how to understand their language, or even a stone. It's alive. It has a life, a beginning and an end, everything. We started off talking about collateral damage, but collateral damage is, if a bus line is going, trees are collateral damage. But in 2015, about 1,300 people died in Karachi, which was a collateral damage of climate change. People were flooded out of their homes. They died due to the water. They had to leave their homes. There's climate migration. There is injustice. This is all the collateral damage of our industrialization, of our having to grow more food because of an increased population. Yes, I've spent my entire life interacting with nature and humans. And the non-humans are not living amongst us, as you earlier said in your opening, but we are one of the species, and we are living among, because the humans are only one species. The non-humans are hundreds and thousands and millions of species. And let me just say this one other thing, that about 2 years ago, 4 years ago, I made a big statement, and a couple of times I've had to eat my words on that, where I had said that this is the last climate conference I'm going to attend, which is in air-conditioned spaces with artificial lightning. It should always be outdoors. So I think you've also set an extremely important precedent by having this outdoors. Under a neem tree, a tree which is also the official tree of Sindh. Your question was very basic, and I could have given a one-liner, but I mean, that would have been nothing.
No, but simple questions demands complicated answers.
Right, so yeah. And it is, the answer to your question is extremely long.
Absolutely, because that's fundamental to, because sometimes these questions end up becoming very simplistic in answers, but what we want to do is to actually look into complexity of this whole thing. And you're talking about power. Dr. Shaida, you talked about power. It almost seems like we are helpless against these power forces. Usman has been looking at a lot of these power struggles in various parts of the world. Usman, what are your thoughts about this friction?
Well, I actually wanted to just pick up on something you said, which is that we can't fight the powers that be. And I actually wonder whether you two believe that, by which I mean, I feel like you would not be doing the kind of performance you're doing if you didn't feel that that was part of fighting in some way. So either of you, I'd love to hear more about that.
I believe you can fight the powers that be. In fact, one thing that this residency has taught me is to fight for what is non-human, to assert for what these species aren't able to communicate. Wow. But everything today is a fight.
Wow.
You have to fight. If you're fighting for humans, then you also have to fight for what's non-human, because they aren't inseparable.
Yeah, beautifully put together. Thank you, Afreen, for that thoughts.
What I'd like to say is, what I meant was that we are all fighting, right? Earlier on, there was a discussion when we just arrived, and there was an expression of, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? Why don't you change your structure and become a corporate structure and go out and live a different lifestyle. And amongst, I think, 90% of the people who are involved in the environment, I'm one of those who lives. We all live in the environment, but most of the people are living in a bubble environment in the environment, and I'm living in the actual environment. So it's not that we can't fight them, but we are not strong enough as yet. We don't have those numbers, okay? We have to continuously work to getting to a stage where our numbers are big enough that you can bring about change. Look what what the hippie generation did. Finally, the war in Vietnam came to an end. It was the movement of the people, right? Everywhere it's the movement of the people, but the people have to become so many in numbers that no matter how big a gun you have, you can't kill all of them. I also believe is that a lot of it initially was an ignorance. We didn't know. And why did we go into chemicals? I'll tell you why. Because my yield was not enough to feed the people. There was pressure on me to produce more feed because they were hungry people. How do I produce more food? Increase my yield. Of course, there's a final aspect to it also. But so I brought sprays to kill the insect that was eating my grain. And then I tried to get the stalk of wheat to give more grain per stalk, heavier grain, more tomatoes in my plant, right? Can we feed the population of Pakistan organically?
That's a great question. Yeah. That's a great question. I think Dr. Shahida has a response to it.
Actually, I think that the motives of chemical companies is not as altruistic as you might think. Actually, they are interested in the profit motive and they are trying to increase their profits. And you've asked a very pertinent question. Can we feed the population through organic food? Now, let me tell you that I've written an article on this and I've tried to answer the question whether whether it is economical to grow GMO foods. Now, the problem with GM foods is, can I have your attention, please? The problem with GM foods is that for every food or any crop, not just food, you have to import the seeds. For every crop, new seeds have to be imported. So, considering the precarious balance of payment situation in Pakistan, it is far, far economical to produce natural foods and organic foods. Because if you want to produce GM foods, you will have to purchase the seeds for every crop and you would have to pay them in dollars. We don't have the dollars.
So that's a very good point you have made. Big round of applause to our guest, wonderful guest, Dr. Shahida Wazarat and Taufeeq Paja Saab, and a big round of applause to Afreen and Vajdan for putting together a fantastic work during this residency. Thank you very much.